Love and peace that we greet each one. Thankful for the service. Thankful for what was shared. What a blessing. What a blessed people we are. I was thinking this morning of this song. Maybe I'll just sing the song and we'll stand and have a word of prayer. Says, I think we'll just, maybe I'll write my title up here. Nothing else is understood. You at least have some idea what was on my heart that we were trying to communicate. The necessity of trials. And this song, I think I'll just sing it here. read it, I'm sorry. Thinking ahead here. Amid the trials which I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. The cares of life come thronging fast upon my soul, their shadow cast. Their gloom reminds my heart at last, Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Let shadows come, let shadows go. Let life be bright or dark with woe. I am content, for this I know, Thou, Lord, thinkest of me. I'm not sure if we know that song real well. Did I bring this book up here? I should just put it back. Did I bring it up here? I should just put it where it goes here before I forget. So maybe we can just stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you. We greet each one. We're blessed to be gathered in His name. Thank you for the singing and all that was shared so far. What a blessing. Father, we know so little. We think you think in different ways, and we do. You have different goals, it seems at times, and we do. Our understanding of what you're wanting to do in our lives is so limited. You use hard things. You use affliction and suffering. When we think of all of humanity, we see the pain, the suffering, and we don't always understand all of these things, Lord. But we ask that you would give us the strength to know that you're with us. We trust, Lord, that you'll use these thoughts today, that you'll inhabit them and inspire us, Lord, to embrace those things you bring into our lives and allow them to continue to shape us and mold us and do things that only you can do. So thank you for each one here. We pray that each one here senses your deep presence, your love, that each one is aware of what you're trying to do in their lives and that they will embrace the things that you bring into their lives. We thank you for this time, these words. They seem incomplete. They seem like they lack all that they need. But we look to you to be our teacher today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, the necessity of trials. My thought goes to Genesis 3. As we opened up, at the beginning of God's Word, we see that God tells Adam and the woman and the snake, he has something to say to all of them. And the Lord God said, we'll just read 13 here, Genesis 3. And the Lord God, maybe we should back up. we'll just start in 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." What a curse to be called to eat dust all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And unto Adam he said, this is, I've broken a little quickly here in my reading. I was going to start here in 17. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." So God, the word of God, teaches us that God's thoughts are higher than ours, his ways are higher than us. So we see here that when man fell, God thought it was best for man to experience suffering and pain and trials in life. We clearly see this. Man fell, sin came into us as mankind, and it's like God pronounced affliction, suffering, and trials and pain on all of humanity. And I don't understand that. Is that what we would do? I don't understand that. But as we go on, let us picture a press up here. How many of you have like a garlic press at home? A little press where you put a bulb of garlic in. Yeah, most of you can identify with that. It's a simple press. But as we think of the big picture, God is pressing every soul that is alive. He's pressing us into eternity. And as we take a step back and behold God and see what all he's doing in the world, no one will have a choice. We're being pressed into eternity. And along with being pressed into eternity, I believe that God uses pain. God uses trials. God uses suffering in the same way. He his heart is that we are, that all of humanity is forced to come to him. But much of humanity doesn't respond to trials, to pain and to suffering the way that God would have us to. Sometimes it hardens our hearts more than it should. Sometimes we don't understand. But so I want to take just I'm trusting to not make this a long. I hope you don't have to suffer the word of exhortation today. But I want this to be an encouragement with God's help. One thought I want to give you, the next time you read James, the first chapter of James, especially the first verses, and I'm not going to take a lot of time there, but it was interesting to me that God starts with wisdom, and right after wisdom, he goes into suffering. And for the first time in my life, I had to wonder, are the two connected? Does it take God's wisdom in our life to understand suffering and pain and trials? I wonder if it doesn't. Somehow the two are both there in the beginning of the book of James, and I had originally planned on opening and just reading those scriptures, but wisdom connected to trials. a new thought for me, and I trust it'll bless you. I think somehow there may be a connection, and I haven't been able to put it all together. But trials are so often we misunderstand. I do. God's people do. All of humanity does. But trials are not an evidence that God is not with us. Trials come from God. So trials are, many times they're an evidence that God has something he wants to do in us. So often, most of humanity, when there's a trial, they think, well, God's left me. But it's just the opposite. I think we should, when there's a trial, we know that every trial comes from above. Every trial comes from, God is in every trial somehow. God has decreed, I believe we see this in the garden, and he orders the necessity of trials and afflictions in our lives. For some reason, I'm not here with all the answers today, but God has saw it best for us as humanity to experience pain and suffering and trials and tribulations and afflictions, and the words can go on. So our thesis today, this is the heart of what I want you to hear, if nothing else. Okay, I think I should first ask the question, who here is not facing a trial or knows someone that is? Let's actually just see a raise of hands. Do you know someone that is facing a trial or affliction, or are you yourself facing one? Can we see a raise of hands? I think that includes every one of us in here. Either we are facing a trial or we know someone that is. So to me, that validates the fact that God has decreed that for us as humanity. He has decreed that the necessity of us facing trials and afflictions in life. So here's the thesis. This is what's important. It is important that in every trial, we follow truth. You know, trials put us in different places. Trials bring different thoughts to us. Trials make us react in different ways. And trials make us start questioning different things. It's interesting what all trials and affliction and all these things can do to us. But this is what's important. When these things come upon us, we could go to many examples in the Word of God of people that faced trials and hard things. And we can see that it was truth that led them faithfully through. So that's what's important to me today. It is important that in every trial we follow truth. So what happens, let's just consider a courtroom session and someone's on trial. And here we have the judge. And the judge, all the evidence is brought. But the judge looks at all the evidence and he decides to make a judgment, and he doesn't use truth. He just decides to, and this happens in our day, he decides to not follow truth. And it always just causes a lot of chaos. So if you can just remember, and I'm not talking about being on trial in court, but in every trial that we face, there's always truth there. Maybe it's hard for us to grasp, but look for the truth and follow that truth in every trial. You're with me? That makes sense? I think that's a blessing. It's been a blessing in my life. So, God has a son who is without sin, but God has no child whom is unafflicted and untested. So if we are a child of God, we are tested in many ways. God has just designed it that way. I think the other thing that I think a lot about when I think of fallen humanity and the things that God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, and cursed is the ground, and thistles and thorns, and When I think of all these things, and I think of humanity and dust, and I think of all these things, I try to understand in my mind the gap. You know, God is here, and if we understand how far we've fallen from God, it will make a big difference in how serious we are about seeking Him, how seriously we pursue Him. When we haven't fallen that far from God, the urgency isn't going to be the same in our lives. But I try to understand just how far fallen humanity has fallen from God. And I believe it's something we don't grasp. Sin has brought so much separation. We have fallen so far. We have fallen so far from what God originally made us. And I think it's trials and afflictions that God uses to show us how far we have fallen, how much sin has affected us, if I can say it rightly. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 5 has an interesting verse, and I think I'll just use the first part of it here. It says, "And I will come near to you to judgment." And I had never really saw this part of the verse as much as I did. But in many ways, God is basically promising here in the first part of Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But He's basically promised to come and put us on trial. He's promising to come and test us. He's promising to come and see what we're made of, and to see how genuine and sincere our walk is, our faith, and our lives in Him. He's promising, God is basically saying, He says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift, a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." And God is basically promising to come and try, to come and test, to come and judge, and to come and bring afflictions and things that will test us to see where we are. God comes and puts us on trial. And He does this so much more than we realize. God comes and tests us in so many ways. He wants us to see what is in our lives and in our heart. And I think we should thank God that He cares enough about us that He wants us to understand what is in our heart and in our lives that is not pleasing to Him. So if we can bring another thought, I hope you're with me. I know you're only good for about 10 to 12 minutes and then your mind starts straying off. And so if I can bring you back together with me here, I try to do that. I just want to say that it is not possible for God to do anything halfway. That is not God. As I've studied God over the years, I just love trying to understand God. But this is one thing about God. God does not just do something part way and then leave it and go on to something else. Does anyone here ever do that? They start something and don't finish it. Can I see a raise of hands? Are you with me? We do that, so we, without realizing it, we can associate some of that with God. But that is not God. God finishes what He has started. And I say that in the light of trials and afflictions and suffering and pain. God uses that to bring to perfection those things that He has started. Is that not amazing? God doesn't just... There's not one thing that anyone can... Let's start over here. Can anyone stand and give testimony of anything that God started and left halfway completed, halfway done? Can anyone stand up and give testimony to anything of that kind with God? We cannot. That is not God. God has promised to finish and bring to completion those things that He started. And my dear brothers and sisters, the point of this is that God has started a work in you, and He uses pain, suffering, trials, and afflictions to bring that work to completion. Psalm 138, verse 8 says, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The psalmist is saying, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So if we can kind of wrap this last 12 minutes up here before we go on to the next 12 minutes, it is important that we follow truth in every trial. And God has promised to come and test us and to bring trials and to bring judgment. But along with that judgment, we can always know there's what? There's always mercy. I didn't share any of those scriptures here, but there's all, mercy and judgment are almost always together. So when God comes to judge, his mercy is always there. That's amazing to me. God has promised to come and put us on trial, and God never leaves anything half done. God is not about unfinished business. God doesn't do his works halfway or half-heartedly. So, again, to go back to our theme here for the next 12 minutes, we'll try to do this again. Suffering is a necessary and very valuable discipline in life. What happens? How many of you have interacted with a child that was never disciplined? Can I see a raise of hands? God knows things we don't. Trials, suffering, they are a necessary and very valuable discipline that God brings into our life. So having said this, let's just turn to Peter. And maybe we should read together to keep you all with me. Let's turn to First Peter chapter 1. And many of you probably could stand up and quote these scriptures from your heart. But let's read them anyway. Let's start in verse 6. And let's read together through verse 9. We could read a lot more. But the words, if need be, I have thought a lot about in verse 6 here, so may they stand out to you as we read, but I hear a few pages rustling up. But let's read loud and clear together, all together. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. This is the word of God. This is actually the word of God. This is reality. This is life. Let's start over and read it again. Verse 6. Let's pause a little at all the commas and together loudly speak out. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Do you see this connection here? We could take this passage, and there's hundreds and hundreds of messages in this little passage of Scripture. But what was at the end of verse 9 that caught your attention? Anything? Here we're talking about suffering and heaviness and manifold temptations and the trial of our faith, but he ends it with the salvation of your souls. It's like this suffering, these trials, they work salvation. They work to the saving of our souls. Is that not amazing? Who else would understand this other than God? Trials, suffering, pain, affliction, they lead to the salvation of our soul. They do. if need be. In verse 6, you could say if it's necessary, the necessity of trials. Since it has to be, would also be a proper way to say it. You could say, wherein ye greatly rejoice, and all for a season, since it has to be. Since it has to be that ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It has to be. You could say it, since it has to be. To persevere through every trial, we need a submissive will. That's the second point of the next 12 minutes here, a submissive will. If we're going to be able to follow truth through every trial, we will need a submissive will. We will have to, very early on, no matter what's happening, we will have to let the truth come to us that God is in this. And then we're going to have to submit our will to the will of God. If we don't submit our will to the will of God, we will do a lot of, we'll make a mess of things like I have many times in my life. A submissive will. To persevere through every trial that we face here on earth, we will need a submissive will. I have this scripture out of place. I have this scripture out of place, but I'm going to share it. It's been on my mind. In Acts chapter 9, verse 16, I just keep being amazed. God says, it's in red in my Bible, and it's talking about Paul, and he was on the road to Damascus, and God had blinded him, and then God had given him this vision of Ananias, where he was on the street called Straight. I'm going by memory here. And how when Ananias would lay his hands on Paul, the scales would fall from Paul's eyes and he would be able to see again. But as Ananias was kind of arguing with God, he was telling God, God, this man has killed your followers. This man has killed your disciples. This man has done all these things. And he was kind of arguing with God, Ananias was. And then God said, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He said that about Paul. And that verse just keeps coming to me this last several weeks. God says he's going to suffer great things for my name's sake. And I don't think God's saying that just to Paul. I think God's saying that to each one of us. If we're going to persevere through our trials, we need a submissive will. Our will is going to have to be broken and laid and come in line with God's will. And we're going to want to see God in these things. So we are, if I can kind of start wrapping this next 12 minutes up here. Are you all still with me? Should we stand a little? Are you with me? So if we can start bringing some conclusion to this 12 minutes here, we are surrounded with a Christianity that has a Lord that suffered beyond any human being. But to be a Christian, we don't have to suffer. Since Christ suffered, we should have no suffering in our lives, should we? But what does Jesus say? What does Jesus teach us in his word? What does his word say? He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. They will. And if we're not being persecuted, we should ask ourselves why. If we're not facing persecution, maybe we're not opening our mouth. I don't know what's happening in our lives, but if people aren't making fun of us, if people aren't putting us down, if we're not facing any kind of persecution, then we have allowed our nature, our fleshly nature, to just order our lives in a way that's comfortable and not be an offense to anyone and not do anything wrong. Because when we follow Christ, we'll be made fun of. will be sneered and scoffed at. We will face persecution. Jesus has said, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. John 15:20. Suffering is woven into every human experience. It's part of fallen humanity. Trials. If we start the next 12-minute segment here, this will go rather quickly. We're making our way here. Trials manifest impurities in our faith. Our faith, there's a lot that can be missing in our faith. Our faith can be so incomplete, and we don't even know it. But trials show us what is lacking in our faith. Because when trials come, when true trials come, so the other thing we face that in other countries they don't, I think there's almost daily that I think about what all we can do in America without faith. It is scary. But let's go back to my point here. Trials manifest, they make it known, they bring to light where our faith is not genuine, where our faith is in things it shouldn't be, or our hope is on things that it should not be. God wills that what is left when the trials have ended is pure, genuine faith. God is intent. You know, we talked about God not doing anything halfway. God is just constantly, He is constantly working in all of His children that He wants pure, genuine faith in Him only. And when there's idolatry, when there's anything in our faith that is not pure and genuine, God brings all the things He needs to make it known to us that our faith is not complete, our faith is not right, our faith is not whole, our faith is not genuine, it's not sincere, it's not true, and it's going to take us off course. It's going to lead us away from Him. And it's a burden to God. And God doesn't let those things happen. So He brings trials. And those trials are designed to show us, your faith is not in me. There's idolatry mixed with your faith. Your hope is in something other than me or my word. That is amazing that we have a God like that. We have a God that is so faithful to do that for us. The necessity of trials. Along with this point, God has given many gifts, a lot of merit, a lot of graces. He's into each of our lives that we would never know are ours. We wouldn't even know those graces are there, or that those gifts, or those the good things, the goodness, the merits, the things that God has put in our lives. Many times those lie dormant until trials come. And when trials come, the dross is kind of taken away, and all of a sudden we see the genuine goodness of the graces and the good things that God has put in our lives. And it is trials that help us understand that those things are even there in the first place. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? The necessity of trials. We may not understand it now, but one day we shall find that affliction is one of God's most blessed ministers, sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Trials and afflictions are one of God's most blessed ministers. It's amazing. Consider humanity with me, and I do this. Consider all of humanity. There's no pain, no suffering, no afflictions, no temptations, no tests, no trials. And yet the fallen nature, fallen humanity, now I'm not talking about even the redeemed. All of fallen humanity experiences none of these things in this life. What would the world look like? God knows what he's doing. I picture this in my mind. I don't know why. I try to picture what would humanity look like if none of these was part of the human experience. We would be worse than beasts. We would be worse than any wild animal that God has made. Can we stand for a little bit? Some of you are holding little ones. You don't need to, but I'm intent to keep you with me, and I'm intent to not have a big, long exhortation here today. Again, a little further to go here before we wrap up this 12-minute section here. It is only when we face difficulties and tests and trials that we understand what faith even means to us. Faith in God. It is in the midst of trials that we are deeper convinced to trust God. You know, but I can trust God. And that is where deeper trust for God is born. It is not hard to have faith when everything is well. When life is all, everything is going perfect, it is not hard to have faith. Trials are tests that God allows. And the goal of the test is to give faith opportunity to express itself and to make it more pure, to make it more genuine. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with me. I'm hoping to keep you all with me here. Our pure faith in God to him is more precious than gold. Peter writes that. More precious than gold. We just read it. So, if it is possible, my dear ones, the minute a test comes, the minute something goes wrong, the minute there's a trial, may you just immediately, as soon as it comes to your mind, may you just write on this trial, it is necessary. It is needed. I need this in my life. And that trial will have worked far exceedingly abundantly more godliness into our lives if we do that. It is needed in my life. Can we do that, brothers and sisters? The minute, just write on every trial, it is needed. It will help you. It is necessary. If you find yourself in a dark valley, may you hear God say, and there's a reason for this. We can go to Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Words from God himself. My brethren, James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We could say, when your faith is tried, it brings endurance. You can know that there's endurance and perseverance that are being worked out when there's tests and trials. That's what God designs it to do. Trials are tests designed to strengthen one's faith. When trials come, one should count it all joy. God is sovereign over all things, including trials, including testings, including afflictions, including the things that we face. Testing of your faith, just as Jesus was tested in the wilderness, believers are tested to make their faith genuine. May we learn to mark every trial from God to us as necessary from the captain of our salvation for our good. I had to think of Abraham. Well, this is so scriptural, my dear brothers and sisters. There are so many verses. There are so many messages that could be preached. I feel like I'm just given an outline of a brief overview. But I thought of Abraham. God told him, go give up your son. As I thought about Abraham doing that, I thought about God. God gave up his son. But God said, go offer up Isaac. Go offer him up. That was a test. and Abraham. Abraham came out of that test. That was a difficult trial. That was a hard test. In spite of the testing, Abraham remained faithful to God. And in this, and his faith is seen. He trusted God's will. He held out even in the face of the most severe testing. The Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, in Genesis 15:6. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and then God counted it to him for righteousness. And Abraham became the father of the righteous. That is amazing how God used a test in Abraham's life. And Abraham's faith stood the test, and he became the father of the righteous. May we take comfort in knowing that the chastening rod is in the hands of the living and loving God, the living and loving Savior who gave his life for me. Someone has said, tribulation is the king's highway, and yet that highway is paved with God's love. Tribulation is the king's highway, yet that highway is paved with God's love. Here's a little poem or something that I found. I think I'll share. In our times of trial, we're so apt to allow murmuring thoughts to rise in our hearts. All these things are against me. Why could this overwhelming blow not be spared? Why does this dark cloud need to come? Why do my trials have to be so severe? Surely this is not part of God's gracious love. For reasons above our understanding, these trials are needed. As these trials come, remember these words, if need be. God determines when and how, and if need be. Thanks be to thee, my dear Savior, my dear Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast won for me, for all the pains and insults thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly forever and ever. The necessity of trials to do this. Please believe God in his word. There is some reason for your trial, which at present we may not be able to discern what the reason is. But God sees far deeper than we do. No furnace of God will be hotter than what he deems necessary. Be still and know that he is God, that if need be, remember his hands of infinite love, infinite wisdom, and infinite power are there, if need be. May we believe this, may we be convinced there's a reason for our chastisement. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. The word scourges, it's that which draws forth blood. When they scourged Jesus, there was blood. He was almost beyond recognition. He scourges every son whom he loveth. And whom he delighteth, you might say, the need for chastening. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father doth not chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Hebrews 12, verses 7 and 8 there, if I remember right. So the picture that I also, as I looked at these words, the picture that I got is that God bears himself towards us in the very act of chastening. It's like as God chastens us and brings these trials, he's coming closer and closer to us to be there for us. So it's one way that we can draw nigh to God. We can know that God is nigh when we're facing trials, when we're facing chastening, when we're facing affliction. God bears himself towards us, as seen here in these scriptures in Hebrews. Is the picture that God gives us. The most notable saints were the most afflicted by God, starting with his son. God leads them by a way they know not. Isaiah 42:16 says, and I thought of going to that passage, but I think we'll leave it. Isaiah 42:16 Feel free to read that later if you would. So we should spend a little time wrapping up these 12 minutes here, and we'll go on towards closing here. To just recap, to keep you with me, we shared a little bit of a poem here that probably didn't make a lot of sense, but we shared about the trying of Abraham's faith, and how after his faith was tried, God counted him as righteous, even though there was still needs in Abraham's life. It was after this that Abraham failed miserably at times, but he had already been declared righteous by God, and Abraham was trying to work out this righteousness and live it in his life. We talked about that every child is scourged by the father. And the scourging is that which draws forth blood. How many of us have even suffered unto blood? We've had it pretty nice. I have. We have yet suffered so little. The most notable saints were the most afflicted by God. So let us go on in towards closing here, I think. Henry Ward Beecher said this. He said, "We are always in the forge." Excuse me here. Trying to keep from sneezing. He said, "We are always in the forge or on the anvil. By trials, God is shaping us for higher things." So we are always, God is always wanting us, when we can handle it, God is always wanting us in the forge. And the forge, what's in the forge? The forge is where there's red hot coals. And this iron is in there with the tongs, and sometimes the tongs are red hot. And this iron is red hot. And he says, we are always in the forge or on the anvil. And he says, by trials, God is shaping us for higher things. That's beautiful. I just thought that was beautiful. I think we should say that love is the reason for all that God does, all of the trials. There's not even one drop of wrath in that bitter cup that you're called to drink. God's not trying to get revenge. God's wrath is not in the trial. God has higher motives. He has a higher goal. As for God, his way is perfect. This is the explanation of every trial. Your Heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we ask. There's not a drop of wrath in that bitter cup that you're called to drink. There's quite a bit here that we could cover that I'm trying to understand what to leave. I think we'll share this yet. May we believe these afflictions are errands of mercy in disguise. God does not afflict for no reason. There's nothing accidental in God's dealings. Unutterable tenderness is the character of all that God allows. He appoints no needless pain to any one of us. God has precious lessons that we have no other way to learn. We cannot take this dust and do and shape the image that God wants us to have. So God has to do this through trials, the necessity of trials. He appoints no needless pain to any one of us. God has lessons we have no other way to learn. Afflicted one, be assured that there's some deep necessity in all that God does. In our trials of sorrow, may we mark every trying hour with these words: it was needed in my life. God could have left us go to drift. He could disown us and let us drift along, unpiloted on the rocks of destruction, clinging to our idols and in our sin and in our ungodliness. God could easily leave us go. But it's His love that chastens us. It's His love that scourges us. It's His love that brings trials and afflictions into our lives. But He loves us with needed trials. It is God's kindness, endless kindness, that hedges our way with thorns and trials. Trust His heart when you cannot see His hand. I was trying to remember, that thought came to me. Isn't that a line in one of the songs we sing? I don't know, Adam. Trust His heart when you cannot see His hand. I couldn't remember what song that was, but... As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. In Revelation 3:19, we'll go on towards closing here. I was amazed at this scripture. I think I'll read it yet. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." And I hadn't remembered reading that in Deuteronomy before. Psalm 22:24, "For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has He hid His face from him, but when he cried unto Him, He heard." Someone has said, I think this might have been Spurgeon, I don't remember, "Trials are the winds which root the tree of our faith." In other words, it is the wind that makes that tree draw deeper roots. When that tree's out by itself and there's not other trees around, that wind makes that tree take deeper root. And he said, "Trials are the winds which root the tree of our faith. Trials prove God's faithfulness to His eternal purposes." We have the Greek word here, energeo, that we could talk about here some. I think we'll just go on towards closing here. We as God's people are not without trial, nor are we without God in the time of our trials. That's encouraging to me. We as God's people are not without trial, and we're not without God in the time of our trial. That was encouraging. So if I can just close with this account here. It's a precious account to me. It's a short one. Life begins on the other side of despair. When Saint Boniface of Munster lay sick, and his friends asked him how he was doing, then they asked him how he felt about all his trials. He pointed to his sores and ulcers, whereof he was full of them, and he said, he pointed to all the sores and the ulcers all over his body, and this is what he said. He said, "These are God's gems and jewels, wherewith He covereth His best friends. And to me they are more precious than all the gold and silver in the world." That quote I ran into some years ago, or this little account, and I don't understand. I don't know if I understand this. But he says, "These are God's gems and jewels, wherewith He covereth His best friends." And he says, "To me they are more precious than gold and silver, and all the gold and silver in the world." The ulcers and the open running sores and the things that were all over his body. The Lord bless you. The necessity of trials. I trust that somehow God can use these thoughts in all of our lives together. And that we can be quick to find God in the things of this life. Because God is in them. He It is so easy for God to design everything we face. Even the smallest things, God designs them and wants to use them in my life. God is amazing in that way. Again, our thesis today, I want to remind us, it is important that in every trial we follow truth. I promise you, it doesn't matter what you face, you'll find some truth in it. Look for that truth and follow it. It will be there. It will help you.